And welcome to the Influential Visions podcast. I'm your new host. I'm taking it over from the very famous and renowned Nathaniel Schuller, who is going to be actually my guest today. Nathaniel, as you all know, he's the principal consultant at the Influencer Marketing Company. He is a valued business analyst, and also he is an IBM futurist. But who am I? Well, my name is Trasa Devander, and I work in social media at Ericsson, but I've been a former broadcast journalist, and watching Nathaniel brought back some memories, and I thought, well, wouldn't it be fun to turn the tables and do a podcast takeover? So let's see if we can get behind the orange shirt and get to the real heart of who Nathaniel is. Welcome, Nathaniel, to your own show.
Oh, it's painful. I'm feeling the pain, really.
We haven't even started yet. This is going to be fun. So there's a couple of topics I'd like to discuss with you. I know a little bit about your background. I know your dad has been very influential in your career. But, I mean, if we look now at what's going on around us with the coronavirus and the pandemic, everyone, and I mean everyone, is online. Your digital presence, both for your person, your own personal brand, and for your company, is of utmost importance. And those who don't have a digital marketing strategy are fastly learning that it's vital.
Yeah.
You agree with this?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
So then if we look at that, my question to you then is, can we discuss the importance of your online brand now in times of crisis and beyond? Tell me, what have you seen out there that gives you hope that people have got it right? Where are you seeing good examples of people using this time to say the right thing, to be in tune with their audience, who they're talking to, and to really resonate, not taking advantage of the situation, because that can be very explosive for your brand in a negative way, but really resonating with the climate?
Well, I think there are a lot of good examples of this right now. I think that, you know, it's really tough for a lot of people, and, you know, lots and lots of people are losing their jobs, and they're losing their businesses probably. But look, let's be realistic about this, right? People have potentially built businesses that are not sustainable anyway. Yeah. That's the first thing. And you know, whilst we who sit here with our screens and you know, we work online, there are plenty of businesses that are going to be successful and they're going to evolve, right? So having a personal brand and a business brand is a time-honored process. I mean, this has gone back, you know, a very, very long time. And all the successful people within each industry, right, have got amazing personal brands. And if you just look at Nelson Mandela, you look at his personal brand. Yeah, his personal brand was amazing. Yeah. And that's just one example, right? But a lot of these people, they haven't actually designed their personal brand. And it is possible now. I know a lot of people who do brand marketing, as in marketing for businesses, don't like the fact that people like me know about how to position a person as a brand. And there are loads of great examples of great personal brands. I mean, if you look at there's a chap called Brian Eisenberg, who's a New York Times 6-time best-selling author, a personal friend of mine, taught me how to write a book, outline to write a book in about, 5 minutes. So you can come up with the title and everything for a whole book in 5 minutes. And me and the other IBM futurists, when we got taken to IBM Amplify, we actually sat down and we did this process, and it was exhausting. It was absolutely exhausting. Yeah. And there are loads of great examples. If you look at him, you look at, it depends on what industry you're looking at, because each industry has experts that everyone looks up to, and they look at them and they bite their nails and they think, oh. And when you're not an expert and you're not actually that knowledgeable about specific topics within a certain industry, you know, don't be afraid to just say, I'm just learning about that, right? Like, because this is the biggest problem is when people perhaps change industries, they're scared of changing industries, right? And that will damage your mindset. And mindset is really, really important right now. And I think also there's a guy called Laban Rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so when I launched my first podcast, yeah, the sound was awful and it's still not that amazing. Yeah. But I did this podcast interview with him. I'll never forget it. And I had to edit it. It took ages because the sound was terrible. And when I sent it to him, I don't think he was very happy. Yeah. However, he helped me to understand how you can build your personal brand alongside a business brand, right? He actually launched a company called Gold Genie, and that was on Dragon's Den. One of the dragons invested in it, and they actually do gold plating. So, for example, if you want to take your car there, you get your car badge gold plated, okay? And he turns up with a kit with the gold and whatever bits and pieces that you need to kind of do that, and supplies you with a gold plated car badge, right, in your driveway. Done. Okay. So what he did in the early stages of his business is he invested in personal branding and he invested in business branding. Okay. So he basically worked from his kitchen for like 8 or 9 years. He didn't have an office. Yeah. And he actually used to actually work in the back garden under one of those little tents. Right. But what was so amazing when he spoke to me, he explained that actually this, when you make that decision that you're going to change career or you're going to start a business or you're going to get a new job or you're going to do something, yeah, it's like there's a bigger power that exists, yeah, and you make that decision, it's like everything in the world just moves, yeah, like, and that's what Will Smith talks about, yeah, these inspirational people talk about that, yeah.
Yeah, isn't it true that's the goal, growth mindset that everybody's talking about, that you don't just sit still and accept a kind of a situation if you don't have the skills, if you don't have the knowledge. I think what you're getting at here is that believe that you can be more and go out and grab it. And we've seen that in a lot of successful people. They really believe it. They have a vision and, you know, they tell themselves they're going to be this. And that is the growth mindset that I think is particularly important now in these turbulent times, right?
Very much so, but it's more than that. It's over the growth mindset. It's like, look, everything's gonna be all right, yeah. And if it isn't, then you know you're gonna be dead, right? So it's mm-hmm. like, well, either you're gonna die or you're gonna get over it, yeah. Like that's kind of where we're at, right? And sometimes in life, like until you've hit rock bottom, you're not even motivated, yeah, to do anything, right? Like, I've hit rock bottom numerous times in the past 12 years. I changed career when I was, about 29 years old, changed career in the last recession. It was awful. I remember, right, I had this really cool Triumph motorcycle at the time. Like, it's called all the buffs out there, the motorcycle buffs. It's like a T595 Daytona. So it's a 950cc triple, yeah? It's fast, right? It looks a bit like a Ducati, okay? And it was red and it had this number plate and it said it had 595 in the number plate. That's how freaking cool it was. So, and I rode this thing to the job center, yeah? And I remember that point, I can't remember how much money I was getting from the job center, but it wasn't a lot. And there was this big wall right outside the job center, yeah? And I thought, oh, I'll be smart. I'll park on the pavement right next to this wall, yeah? Save myself, you know, the reason I took the bike and not my girlfriend's car was because I saved money, right? Parked on the pavement. And I never forget, I got a ticket from a parking attendant, yeah? But this pavement was like 7 foot wide, yeah? Like a blind person or a woman with a baby with a triple pushchair could walk down there, yeah? And I got a ticket and I came out of this job center and I saw my bike and I was really angry, yeah? And I was absolutely mortified that this ticket, yeah, I think it cost me like 60 quid, yeah. And at that point, I think Job Seeker's allowance was like £36 a week or something. Like, you know, what can you do with 30? You can't do anything with 36 quid a week, right? Mm-hmm. Like, really, yeah. And so at that point, I was like, do you know what? I got battered and battered and battered in many, many times the past few years. Sometimes it's by business partners. Sometimes it's by clients who are over demanding, don't pay their bills on time. There are a number of different things that have stressed me out. But I'm alive. And each one of those steps in my life has brought me to the next stage where I am, you know, I'm really helping other people to understand that they can get through it. Yeah. And, you know, like I interviewed Mike Tobin yesterday, who's just phenomenal character. He went to the South Pole to an expedition last January, just gone. Yeah. They raised £500,000 for a charity that he was working with. He grew a business from £6 million to an exit of £3.6 billion. Yeah. And so he's basically been a guest on my show since I started. Yeah. And he's actually the non-executive chairman for Audio Boom, which is one of the largest platforms for hosting. Big shout out to you guys. I'm just changing to Audio Boom in the next few days. So had one more really, really inspiring story. And so at this point, I remember it was really tough, yeah? And my wife had just had a baby. So I was driving along in her car. I basically, one of my friends used to run a cider company. And he flashed me in his van, and he pulled me over, and he asked me. He said, "Oh, a very posh chap called James Lane, lovely character. This gospel green cider is what he makes, and it's a localized bottle fermented cider, like in a champagne style, bottle, right?" And he basically says, "Oh, what's your hourly rate, Nathaniel? How much do you charge?" And I stood there for about, it felt like an eternity. And I thought, I don't even know what my hourly rate is, because I've been on a wage for the last 15 years or, you know, whatever it was, right? Since my first job out of college from the wine industry. And I said, "Oh, it's £10 an hour, right?" And he said, "Well, I'll see you at the cider barn in the morning, and we'll do some work." And I got there at 8 o'clock, right? And he killed me, absolutely annihilated me. Because I was pulling this handle on this machine. So when you ferment cider, it has a secondary fermentation in the bottle. So what you have to do is you have to take the plastic cap out after you've turned the bottle upside down and all of the muck from the yeast and dead sugar has dropped to the bottom. And you turn the, so you rid, it's called riddling in the wine industry. You spin the bottle round, and then all of that junk that you don't want in the bottle goes to the top of the bottle, which is because it's upside down. And what happens is then you take the plastic cork out and you top it up with something which could be sweet, it could be a black currant, or it could be something to change the flavor of the whatever drink you're making. Yeah. So I was standing there and he had 1950s or 40s machinery, right? This is machinery that is, it's not going anywhere, yeah? But you have to pull the handle, right? So he was, I never forget it. He was taking these stoppers off and all of the junk was flying out. And then he's passed me this bottle after he's topped it up. And then I put the cork in, pull the handle, and then the cork is compressed and it goes into the top of the bottle. Yeah. Then I pass it over to the next machine, which puts the cap on, which spins around and pulls all of the metal together. And it compresses this cork, compresses the foil that goes on the top of that. So woke up after the first day, it was murder, absolute murder. And I was like, my back hurt. Because you're pulling the handle with one hand, which is, you've had a desk job. You're not used to this, right? So that's what I did. And then I went the next day to work for him, and it was murder, moving these boxes and all this stuff. But do you know what, though? The point of that story, is...
I was just going to ask you, what is your point to people today who may find themselves unemployed, may find themselves down and out, over the current situation?
Take whatever job you're offered.
Okay.
And the reason you need to take that job, yeah, is because you need to boost your self-esteem. Yeah. You're sitting there, you've been made redundant, you've lost your business. Yeah. You need to take whatever there is, and you need to build your self-esteem, because without your self-esteem, yeah, you can build a personal brand all you want. Yeah. You will feel inside like you don't know anything, like you're a failure. Yeah. Until you move beyond that feeling of being a failure. Yeah. And helpless. Yeah. Helpless. Right. You're not going to be able to build this brand, which is going to take everything to the next level, everything.
And there is actually a name for that. I think it's called the imposter syndrome, and it impacts absolutely everyone, not just somebody changing their career or doing a pivot to something they've never done before.
Yeah.
So everybody suffers from it. So that's a good point to remind people that it is something that everybody suffers, gets through. You get some experience behind your belt, and then you move on. So back to the topic of today, how do you position yourself to take your career to the next level? And I mentioned earlier that there were some good examples online now. And I mean, in times where there's so much turbulence, I think leadership is key to show, you know, you understand. This is also a form of branding, but in another sphere, you understand, you resonate with the situation, you acknowledge the situation, you feel the pain of the frontline workers, you feel the pain of those who are without jobs, poor, you know, working from home parents who have to juggle children and jobs. I mean, there's a lot of people right now impacted in many ways, but the ones who really connect online and resonate online are authentic. They acknowledge the situation. They go straight to the point. They're considerate. They're quite generous with their advice. And I know we're going to talk about some tips and tricks later for working from home, but I mean, are there any other like examples or highlights that you've seen lately that kind of spring to mind?
Well, I actually don't think that branding, first of all, is not a fast fix. Yeah. It's not it's not a quick fix. It's taken me, you know, best part of 10 years to build my brand. Yeah. And along that journey, I've positioned it and repositioned it and changed it slightly to appeal to just the right people. For me, it's a very laser targeted approach. Yeah. You know, if you look at each industry, there will be people that are excelling. So, for example, there's a dentist called Raul Doshi, yeah? And I actually did some social media work for him in the early days of my social media business that I was attempting to build, which was, you know, on my own. It was difficult as a freelancer, and he was a fantastic client. But he basically worked with the BACD, which is the British Association of Cosmetic Dentists. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he became the chairman. So you can, first of all, you can create one of these trade bodies. You can go and you can work within a trade body. You can offer your services for free within that trade body. You can create
content. Create a blog. You can create a podcast.
Yeah. Yes. But standing there in your boxer shorts talking about what you're doing, your exercise routine on your Facebook, first of all, is not helping you whatsoever.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You need to grow up and act your age. That's the first thing. Yeah. If you don't know something, don't frigging talk about it. Yeah. It really annoys me when people talk about something they don't know anything about. So one of my friends, he said this to me years ago. He's like, look, if you don't know anything about it, just don't talk about it. And that's basically where I'm at now. I'm just not interested in engaging with topics I don't know anything about.
But I think
if I don't know anything, then I will go and I will study that topic in order to have a meaningful conversation about it. Yeah.
Yeah. On the other side of that, I'm just thinking nowadays, everybody's a journalist, right? Because everybody can self-produce content, be it on a blog, a Medium blog, a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a Snapchat, a TikTok. We're all producers of content. And I think that's where people get the error that you just highlighted, that it is their personal brand that they are actually, you know, projecting out there. And everything they do will be, there's a digital footprint. And yeah. the first thing, if you apply for a job, that somebody will look at is your Google.
Yep.
They'll Google you and they'll see, oh my gosh, this person has a Facebook account or Snapchat.
Yeah.
Just to be fully aware of how you come across and making sure that you are true to yourself, authentic, consistent with your messaging, consistent with your posting. I'm not going to take advice from a dentist talking Tai Chi.
Of course.
But I might take advice from a dentist talking about the latest cosmetic surgery.
You've just reminded me. So there's also in the Tai Chi world, for example, if you want to be taken seriously, you're going to go and have a fight. If you want to become the world famous Tai Chi master, you go and have a fight, right? I mean, that's what Dan Doherty, who's the Scottish guy in the UK, he's the president of or chairman of the British Tai Chi Association. That's what him and his kung fu brother Tong Chi Kin did. Tong Chi Kin, they both entered the full contact Southeast Asian open style full contact tournament in 1982, I think, or 85. Mm-hmm. Both won gold medals. Dan Doherty knocked out this guy. So he decided he was going to go into the open weight category. At the time, I mean, he's Glaswegian, so it explains a lot. But he basically was only 14 and a half stone at the time. And he decided he was going to go up into the open weight category to fight any weight. Yeah, any weight, any style can enter. You're on a raised platform off the ground of like 5 or 6 feet, 4 or 5 feet. And he fought this guy called Roy Pink. And Roy Pink was about 20 and a half stone, this big, big African guy, absolutely massive. Dan Doherty gets on the platform and Roy Pink kicks him in the stomach. And Dan Doherty flies off the platform and lands on his back. Oh, sorry, just not my file of facts. And he got back on the platform and he knocked Roy Pink out in 3 punches. Yeah. And without Dan Doherty, the UK Tai Chi Association, and I, you know, I wouldn't know Tai Chi and I wouldn't have connected with Tong Chi Kin without his personal brand. I went all the way to Guatemala to go and seek him out. Yeah. Because the knowledge that that man had was different to the stuff that I was learning through my teacher, who was a student of Dan Doherty's. Yeah. So, and then he gave me permission to teach like internal strength exercises and stuff, which very few people are allowed to do that in the UK because mm-hmm. it's like a closed school kind of thing. So you need to just think, what makes you different? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you better than anyone else? You need to explain what the hell you do in words that people understand, because that's the biggest problem. And you need to, it's all on my website. I've written so many blogs about personal branding, but I'm actually going to give away a copy of my digital book until this crisis is over. Well, as soon as I get let out, right, and I can go to Poland to see my girlfriend, I'm going to stop giving away that book, yeah? But I'm literally going to put that on a landing page, which you just put your name and email in there, and that will go just directly to those people. I'm not planning on spamming them. I might send them some resources and stuff, but... so that will be on the influentialvisions.com website.
Super.
Somewhere under this episode. And
link down here.
Yeah, and I'll drop the link most definitely. But you know, I mean, I think the next topic we could talk about another time, actually, if you like, because yes. I know you're pressed for time. Up to you if you think you can fit it in.
Tips and tricks for working from home. Right. Number one.
Yep.
Get up as if you are going to work, get dressed. It's psychologically, it's very important. Otherwise you're in your pajamas and you just don't feel like it's a work day. Number two, schedule breaks. Very important. I've put them in my calendar. And try and take those breaks with some colleagues because they also need a bit of cheering up. Number three, get outside. For those of you who can, I know there's some restrictions, but fresh air is so important, even just to walk around your house and change, go for a cycle, just change the vision. There's some of mine. Do you have any to add?
Posture. Get your set up, your desk yes. properly. If you're not used to, well, I'm not having a go at you, because we're trying to be
that
distance from the screen or whatever, but you know, I mean, I think first of all, get your laptop set up so it's on, so it's at the right height for you.
Ergonomics.
Yeah, ideally get a screen or two. I mean, I've got a desktop machine because I need extra computing power. Yeah, I was just sick of the slow, rubbish laptop. So my buddy Eric built me this this machine. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So
there's a meme going around actually that, you know, men working from home, they have the three screens, they have the loudest, biggest, widest keyboard. They have the latest digit.
What are you saying about my keyboard? I know. I'm sorry.
Nothing. I'm seeing your screens and it's making me laugh. And then the women are sitting on a couch with their legs folded and a cup of tea with the smallest computer.
You know, drink plenty of water.
Yes.
If you're depressed and you're stressed and you're worried, take a break, take some exercise, sit, meditate, read the Bible, whatever thing that you do that helps you calm down, take a bath. Yeah. You know, but
not with the computer though.
No.
Well, no.
Just no.
No. Sorry. Couldn't
resist. There are absolutely loads. I mean, we could, yes. You know, I've done a few episodes. I think probably 4 or 5 days ago, I did one a bit about working from home. But the tips that you provided as well, I mean, people are going to get a lot of value, I think, most definitely from
listening to this. Yes. And there's loads actually online. There's a lot of people sharing their advice right now, which again is great personal branding. So if you're in that space, be sure to check it out. To work from home if you haven't before.
Thank you.
Well, I suppose I'm wrapping up now because I'm the lead podcaster here. So I'd like to thank my guest, Nathaniel Schuller, and the Influential Visions podcast. It's been a pleasure. It's been fun getting a little bit behind the scenes and into the thought process that, you know, creates you and your growth mindset and positioning for the future. So thanks for sharing that with us.
Thank you. You've been absolutely brilliant. It's super. Thanks for listening. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections too. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thank you.